The fifth parak in Mishnah Aleph introduces a new type of neder. Previously, we saw that there are two types. When somebody wants to give a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, the Erech neder, when he says, I'm going to give a specific value, those are the values that are dictated in the Torah based on the gender and also the age of the person that he's giving the Erech of. And number two, we saw, is Damim. If he wants to give the actual value of somebody or himself, that is a Damim neder. And here in Mishnah Aleph, we're going to talk about if he wants to give a neder, he's going to give the weight of something. So the Mishnah says as follows, Ha'omer Mishkali Alai, he says, I'm going to give my weight's worth to the Beis HaMikdash, Nosen Mishkalo, he has to give the weight's worth. And what does that mean? So it says, if he says explicitly what he's going to give him, Kesef Kesef, he says, I'm going to give my weight's worth in silver, he has to give his weight's worth in Kesef in silver. So if he weighs 100 pounds, he has to give 100 pounds of silver. Im zahav zahav. If he says explicitly gold, he has to give 100 pounds of gold. And the Gemara explains that there's chasuri mechsara, there's something missing here in the Mishnah. And it says that's when you say explicitly the material that you're going to give. But if you don't say the material that you're going to give, it's tam. You just said, I'm going to give my weight. What are you going to give the weight of? So that depends on your wealth. And for example, if somebody is very wealthy, they're going to have to give their weight in gold. And maisa, so there's an example of this. A maisa happened that the mother of Yirmatya says, I'm going to give the weight of my daughter. And they were very wealthy, a very dignified family. And they went up to Yerushalayim. Then they weighed the daughter of Inasnu Mishkalazav. And they were required to give the weight in gold because they were able to pay that. Now, what happens if somebody says, Mishkal Yadi Alai? He's not giving the weight of his entire body. That you can weigh. Then how about the arm? I'm going to give the weight of my arm. How do you weigh an arm? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer Memalei Chavis Mayim, what you're going to do is you're going to fill up a barrel full of water and you're going to displace the water with your arm. You're going to put your arm in up to the elbow. That's the definition of a yad, is up until the elbow. What you're going to do is, in order to replace, to see what amount of water, what volume of water was displaced, you're going to take the meat of a donkey, including the sinews and the bones, and you're going to put it in an equal amount until you fill up the barrel that you had displaced the water from. And now you know the amount of volume that was taken out, and it's you're using the meat, etc., of the donkey as a proxy, and you're going to weigh that, and you're going to give the weight of that meat to the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rabbi Yossi doesn't like this technique. This is not going to work, because how do you know that the percentages of meat versus meat and sinews versus sinews and the bone versus bone of the donkey is equal to that of the person? So that's not going to be a very good proxy for the weight of the person's arm. What you have to do is you have to estimate the weight of the person, and you have to give the weight of the person in the material that you committed to give. And if you're wealthy, it has to be in gold. If it was stam, if you didn't say what material you're going to give. Mishnah Beis gets back to discussing our first type of nedarim, damim and erech, erech and damim. The Mishnah Beis says as follows. If somebody says, demei yadi alai, I'm going to give you the demei, the damim, the value of my arm, what do you have to do? Shamin oso, you have to make an appraisal. Kama hu shava biyad, v'kama shava b'loyad. What is he worth with an arm, and what is he worth without an arm? The example would be, how do we do this? Is you have somebody who owns an eved, owns a slave, and you have a slave that he's going to sell that slave. So what's the value of that slave if he sells the whole slave? And what's the value if he sells the whole slave, but he says you're not allowed to use one of the arms? So that's going to be the delta between those two prices, is going to be the value of the arm. Zechomer bin Adarim bin Arachin. This is an example of when we are stricter when it comes to damim. That's Nedarim relative to Erachin. What is the difference here? So if in Erachin, if you said, I'm going to give the Erech, I'm going to give the value of my arm. When we talk about Erech, we've seen that that's a set fee based on the Psukim in the Torah. And the Torah doesn't say an Erech for an arm. So if you'd say, I'm going to give the Erech of my arm, you're going to give nothing. So we are lenient when it comes to erachim, but when it comes to damim, we're going to be strict. You're going to have to give the value of your arm. And we'll get back to this at the end of the Mishnah. So this is an example of when we are stricter when it comes to nedarim relative to erachim. The chomer be'erachim and nedarim keza. And what's an example of when we are stricter when it comes to making an erachim vow relative to a nedarim vow? Ha'omer erachi alai v'meid. If somebody says, I'm going to give my erach to the base of Mikdash, and he passes away before paying, you know what the erech is, because you just look at the psukim, you look at his gender, and you look at his age, and you can ascertain what his erech is. So even though he passed away before paying, Yitnu Ayorshim, his inheritors, are going to have to pay off the erech vow. On the other hand, if he said, Damai alive ames, if he said, my damim, I'm going to give my market value, my actual value, and he passes away before the appraisal, lo yitnu ayorshim, his yorshim don't have to pay off that vow, shein damim lemesim, because if there were an appraisal now, the person has already passed away. There's no value to somebody who passed away. If somebody says, erech yadi ve'erech ragli alai, if somebody says, I'm going to give the erech of my hand or the erech of my foot. So this is how we started off with the Mishnah. We say, if you said demeya di alai, well, there is a value to that because damim is actual value. But when you say an erech to an organ, there is no value to that. Lo amar klum, you didn't say anything. You don't have to pay anything. On the other hand, an exception to this rule, even though somebody is not donating the value of an entire person, but only a part of a person, an organ, we're about to see shortly that if that organ is critical to the person's life, that is considered it as if the person said, I'm going to give the entire erech of the person, and he's going to have to pay the full value. So if he says as follows, erech roshi, or he says, ve'erech kvedi alai, if he says, I'm going to give the erech of my head, or the erech of my liver, and it'd be the same for other critical functioning organs in the body, nosen erech kulo, you're going to have to give the entire erech, the entire fexfi of the erech, because he's talking about an organ that is critical for life. Zaklal, as the Mishnah concludes, davar, shanashama, tluyabo, an organ that our life depends on, nosen erech kulo, you're going to have to give the erech for the entire thing. Mishnah Gimel, we're going to talk about more language here. If somebody says, chatzi erechi alai, if somebody says, I'm going to give half of my erech, so we can ascertain half of his erech, because we know his full erech, your full erech is dictated by the psukim. For example, it's 50 shkalim, and half of my erech, I'm going to give 25, so nosen chatzi erechi, you have to give half of it. Erech chatzi alai, if the person says, I'm going to give the erech of half of myself. It's different language. It's not that I'm going to give half of my erech, then you give half of your erech, 25, but he says, I'm going to give the erech of half of myself, erech chetzi alai, nosen erech kula, you're going to have to give the full 50 shkalim, for example, because half of yourself is like a significant organ. You can't live with half of yourself. Accordingly, you have to give the full amount. If he says, chetzi damai alai, I'm going to give half of damim, this is the actual value, I'm going to give that, nosen chetzi damai, you're going to have to get an appraisal done of the individual, the actual value, and you give him half of it. If he says, demei chetzi alai, that I'm going to give the value of half of myself, we would have thought to say that he's going to only have to give half of itself because it's actual value, but nonetheless, the Mishnah says otherwise, nosen demei kulo, he actually has to give the dummy the actual value of his entire being. Why is that? Because there's a limud, there's a pasuk that learns erechin for dummy for this purposes. So, in other words, erechin and damim are going to be the same, that when you say, I'm going to give half of the value of myself, I'm going to give the value of half of myself, you're going to have to give the entire damim value. Zaklal, davar, shanashama, tliyabo, as we said about erechin at the end of the prior Mishnah, we're going to say the same thing about damim. If you make a damim commitment of something that your life is dependent on, you're not going to give the actual damim value, but rather nosen demei kulo, that's the girso that we'll use, demei kulo, you're going to have to give the entire value of the individual. Mishnah Dalet, Ha'omer Erko Shaploni Alai. This is just like Mishnah Dalet that somebody said, I'm going to give the Erech of myself, and he passed away before paying it. Here, he's giving the Erech of B, and he passes away. So Ha'omer Erko Shaploni Alai, A says that Erech, that set fee of B is going to be upon me. I'm going to pay B's Erech. Meis Hanodor V'Anidor, both A and B pass away before A pays off the erech, Yitnu Yorshim, A's Yorshim are going to have to pay the erech amount, because we know the amount. B doesn't have to be around. As soon as A says the amount, and there's something called Hamad in front of the Kohen, the Kohen confirms it, then there is a requirement on A, or is Yorshim to pay off that vow. Damav shall ploni alai. If A says, I'm going to give the dami the actual value of B, meis hanodar, if A passes away, but B does not, B is still alive, yitnu a Yorshim, B is still alive, he can be praised, and accordingly, his A's Yorshim is going to have to pay off that dami vow. Meis hanidar, how about if not only A passed away, but B passed away as well? In that situation, because B passed away before the appraisal was done of his actual value, lo yitnu a Yorshim, A's Yorshim don't have to pay off the vow, Shane Dami the Mason, because at this point there's no value in B because the appraisal wasn't done before he passed away. Mishnah Hay is going to change a little bit. Before we were talking about when B was a person. Now we're going to talk about the B, the subject of the vow is either an animal or an object. So Mishnah Hay says as follows, Shor ze Ola. Somebody says, I am going to give this shor is an Ola. He's saying, I'm going to give the value of this ox. Or alternatively, he says, Bayit ze Korban. I am going to give the value of this house. So he's saying this specific item, either it's an ox or this house is going to be donated to the base of Mikdash. What happens is Mesa Shor Vanaf Alabayas, if that shore, if that ox passes away, or that house falls before he gives the payment to the base of Mikdash, Eino Chayev L'Shalem, he does not have to make good on that. Why is that? Because this is similar to a Nadava. He is saying, I'm going to give a specific item. If something happened to that item, then he doesn't have to pay anymore. Because he said, Shor Ze'ola, it's going to be this specific ox, it's going to be by Ze, this specific house. On the other hand, we're going to add a couple more words now. Instead of saying shor ze ola, which is three words, he adds of two words, demei, the value, shor ze, of this shore, of this ox, alai, is on me, it's going to be an ola. So here, it's taking it out of the realm of being limited to that specific shore. And if that shore dies, it doesn't matter because he is going to be personally liable to make good on that payment to the base of Mikdash. So demei shor ze alai ola, if he says, I'm going to be personally, so effectively saying, I'm personally responsible, it's incumbent on me, oh, demei bayis ze alai, or he says that the value of this house is upon me, he says korban, he says demei bayis zalai korban mesa shor v'naf alabayis, if that shor dies before he pays the amount to the base of Mikdash, or if that house falls, it doesn't matter, he's personally responsible, chayev l'shalom, he still has to pay to the base of Mikdash. Mishnah Hay is a very interesting Mishnah. It says that people, when they make commitments, despite that, they sometimes drag their feet and don't pay them off. So somebody may says, I'm going to give a tzedakah, for example, nowadays, I'm going to give it to the shul. Unfortunately, not everyone pays up so promptly. So in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they had a procedure to effectively force payment by the person who made a commitment. Now, it happens to be that the Torah tells us that when you make a commitment to give something to the Beis Hamikdash, there's a mitzvah to pay it promptly, and there's also a prohibition to not pay it promptly. If you pass through the Shalosh Regalim and you don't pay it, that is a lav. So the Mishnah tells us as follows, Chayave Erechin. If somebody made a commitment to give the Erech to the Beis Hamikdash, and that he is dragging his feet, the treasurer, the Gizbar, the base of Mikdash, has the ability, Mimashkininosan, he can take collateral equal to the amount of the Erech vow, and he'll hold on to that until the person who made the Erech vow pays it. So you effectively, they're forcing him to pay up because he's not going to get his mashkon back. He's not going to get his asset back. Chayave chataos rashamos. On the other hand, if somebody is obligated to bring a korban chatas, he did a sin. Vashamos, so different types of sins, and he has to bring these korbanas. He is not going to drag his feet because he wants to bring these korbanas because he wants to have a kapar. He wants to have repentance for the sins that he committed. Accordingly, there's no need, eimim mashkenin osan. There's no need for the gizbar to take a mashkon from this person to ensure that he's going to pay up because he's going to be self-motivated to pay up. On the other hand, chayave ola sushlami, if somebody made a commitment, I'm going to bring a korban ola or a combo korban shlami to the base of Mikdash. He doesn't get kapara for that. That's a donation. So he may drag his feet. Mimashkinino son, we can take that mashkon. The gizbar can take the mashkon from him. Even though the fact is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu isn't going to accept the korban unless it's brought willingly. So how is he bringing, for example, this korban ola shlamim willingly if we're forcing him to bring it? Shenemar liyirtzono, as it says by korban ola, he has to bring it volitionally in order to have a fulfillment of bringing that korbanon. So how are we forcing him by taking it as collateral? It's not liyirtzono. Nonetheless, it really is liyirtzono. Kofino so achiyomer rotzani. We are forcing him by taking the collateral But we are going to require him to say, Rotani, I really do want to bring this. And accordingly, that is considered being accepted by Kadosh Baruch Hu. We consider that he's willingly bringing it, Lirtzono. That is sufficient, even though we're quasi-forcing him, but he's still going to say, Rotani. And another time, we see that a very famous time, V'chinato Omer Begite Nashim, when it comes to a get, if a person is obligated to give a get and he is a recalcitrant, he's not giving it, the Beis Din can force him to give that gift. Kofin also, but you're not allowed to accept the get. It's not a kosher get. If it was forced, nonetheless, kofin also, we force him to give it at Shioma Rotzani. We force him to give it until he says Rotzani. Effectively, we're forcing him, but he is going to say the words that I really do want to give it. We know the neshama of a Jew wants to be Mekayim the Torah, and accordingly, it's sufficient that he says Rotzani, and that will be a kosher get.